Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Okay, welcome everyone to the Silence the Mind Cluck podcast. I am thrilled today to have Tony Kitchens with me. Tony, welcome.
Hello, Maria. Thank you for having me. And it's a pleasure and honor to meet your audience.
Thanks so much. I'm thrilled to have you. All right. So to start out, tell us a bit about you.
Absolutely. I am a speaker and I also do consulting, life and business strategy sessions. So I take individuals who are looking to move from where they are today to pursue and follow their dreams and goals. And I also do the same thing with businesses and corporations. How do they move from where they are today in their goals to the next level of business?
Okay, wonderful. So on this podcast, we're talking about Mind Cluck. So tell us a bit about a time when you faced a very high level of Mind Cluck in your life.
Yeah. It was in 2019. I had a technology company and I had to make the very difficult decision to close it. And it was, it was a lot of chatter in my head after I made that decision. And it was a time where thoughts would come in, ideas would come in, and I just couldn't sort them out. It was pretty devastating, and it was fairly recent. It was a few years ago,
right?
But still, some of those ideas and thoughts, you remember them. They don't come into your mind anymore, but you still remember them. It's tough.
Yeah. No, I so understand. So going back to that particular time, what did you do to silence the mind cluck in your mind? Because I can imagine when you're closing a business, especially one you've had for 29 years, like just the level of devastation, and then also how it plays out to affecting the other people that you worked with. So what were some of the ways that you started to tackle what your mind was telling you?
Yeah, first it was prayer. And there, you know, some people may or may not pray, but what that did for me was it allowed me to get silent, whether I was praying or not. And I was able to, not just being able to sit still, I had no choice but to sit still in silence. I didn't look at TV. I didn't look at the news. I didn't, none of that. And I just had to sit there. And what happened was I thought about how I would get through this. I didn't have an idea of how to do it. But what I did was I sat down and I started journaling, so to speak, which ultimately turned into a book, but that wasn't the intention. I sat down and started writing, and I was just thinking about all of the times in my life where I felt and faced difficult times and difficult emotions. And I just started writing them down and how I remember getting through those things. And there was a common theme there, which was time doesn't heal everything. But time to think about yourself and your situation and to think about the times that you did overcome and move beyond circumstances, that helped tremendously. And eventually what happened was the thoughts that came into my head weren't about the impending doom. They weren't focusing on the situation. It was my mind said, you can get through this because you've gotten through worse in the past. And that was a prevailing thought of victory. And okay, this is just another thing that will pass. And that helped a lot.
That makes so much sense. So a couple thoughts there for our audience. For anyone who doesn't, you know, isn't particularly religious or doesn't pray, like praying can just be, it's just quieting yourself and talking. You can think of it as talking to the universe or talking, you know, if God is not your focus, you can pick another focus. But the act of prayer, so the act of directing your thoughts to a particular, whatever entity you believe in or choose to speak with that. I agree. That's so powerful. And then getting to journaling, I think it's so neat when you can go back to a past situation and see what you did to get through it, because the act of doing that enables you to harness that energy and bring it forward. And it's a little bit of a reminder of like, oh no, I do know how to do this. Because it can be so easy in the moment to be like, help, I'm just going to go under.
Yeah. And you're exactly right, Maria. It was so bad in terms of journaling that I couldn't even read my own handwriting, because I'm a typer. I've been typing my whole life.
Uh-huh.
And I would write, but what I found was, if my body wanted to get the words out so fast, that I was writing real fast.
Uh-huh.
And then I had to stop that and start typing on the laptop.
Uh-huh.
And 100,000 words later, as I looked at my journal, so to speak, I said, man, someone can really probably benefit from these experiences that I've had and how mm-hmm. I was able to move past them. And I asked my wife, I said, how do I even organize this into a book? She said, well, you need to create chapters. I said, well, how do I do that? Because this was literally just a extensive amount of brain dump. That's all it was. That was it. And it was for me. It wasn't for other people.
Right. Right.
But eventually I was able to organize those thoughts and realize that, wow, you know, this is one scenario I've been through worst, even though each time you go through a difficult point in your life,
mm-hmm.
it seems like it's so brand new, that it's so different than any other time. And it may be based on the circumstance.
Right.
But the tools that you've already developed to deal with this situation mm-hmm. and situations like this, you already have the tools. And that was the thing that really came to forefront of my mind when I got silent.
That makes so much sense. And I think for our listeners, one of the things you can do in the act of writing, or if you're not into writing, you can record yourself, is just to create yourself a toolbox. So it's like, okay, so I know that when times get tough, here are tools that I know I already have, skills I already have that I can apply to this particular situation. So what I'm curious to hear from you, Tony, is tell us about some of the tools or skills that you have that you tap into in difficult times.
Absolutely. One is, each of us we have two access points. That's our eyes and our ears. If you're already dealing with something that's difficult, one of the first things you have to do is eliminate or prevent other bad ideas and other bad visions to come into your head and your soul. Mm-hmm. And the way to prevent those is by protecting what you're listening to and what you're seeing.
Uh-huh.
I watch no news.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to hear any news.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even want to have a TV on with news in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I completely stopped that. What I did was, I did find a couple of places on YouTube, people that I'd followed before, and motivational people. Mm-hmm. And I would consume some of their content.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I got to them was because they had also had challenges in life and they had good success. So the first thing I did was, I had to stop more bad information and more sad and depressing information from coming in, because I had enough of that in my life.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And we're all bombarded by everything every minute of the day. So, and that is its own kind of mind clock.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the second thing, Maria, that I did was, there's a fine line between sitting and meditating, or just taking it all in and understanding what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And not doing anything at all. There's a very fine line, and one can bleed over to the other.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I had to do was, I had to get busy doing something. I had to create a project. So what I did was, I immediately started another company.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And you fall off a bike, you get back up. Right. Mm-hmm. And what I thought at that, it, what that did for me that was it gave me a purpose every single day. So now mm-hmm. when I woke up, I couldn't focus on the past, even though the past was a day ago,
right,
a week, a month ago. It's right. still technically in the past. Mm-hmm. So looking for something to move forward to, building something, gave me an extreme amount of determination. Mm-hmm. It gave me purpose, mm-hmm. even though I was still dealing with legalities and all the things yeah. that come along with closing a business.
Right.
90% of what I was doing was focusing on creating something new. And not all people in the audience are going to be business owners or, right. or have a desire to open a business.
Right.
But it's putting something else at the forefront of your mind, not yes. to distract, but to give you more purpose for your life. And in that purpose, mm-hmm. I was able to now heal a little bit. And uh-huh. move forward. So the first thing was stopping the noise. The yeah. second thing was creating something new. It could have been a relationship. It could have been a friendship. It could have been a job. It could have been anything. But focusing your mind on something new. And then the third thing is allowing yourself to not just grieve for whatever it is that you're losing, that you lost, allowing right. that, but right. also not sitting still in that. At a certain point, I said to myself, that was traumatic. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to define myself moving forward by the trauma that I've been through. I won't do uh-huh. that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I forgave myself for feeling, you know, a certain way about this business closure and having to lay off people the week of Thanksgiving. It was terrible.
Oh, yeah. And I said,
you know what? We're going to move forward. We're going yeah. to move forward. And those three things really helped a lot.
That makes so much sense. Going to having something to do. I think that anybody can relate to that. So no matter what's going on in your life, whatever bad time you're in, having a place to like channel your energy. So it could be it could be an art project. It could be gardening. It could be taking up a new sport. You could apply this in all kinds of ways if you're not an entrepreneur. But just the idea that when you wake up in the morning, maybe your first thought is, oh gosh, you know, this just happened. But your second thought can be, oh, but I'm excited about starting this new thing. And the more you do that, then with some time, then your first thought is going to be, oh, I'm excited. I'm going to do this thing. And your second or third or 10th thought might be like, gosh, what a bummer that that happened.
Yeah. And and for the audience, it doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
What I found is every day I was doing something new. For example, mm-hmm. you know, when you're in that moment, when you're dealing with a tough time, the natural tendency is to sit there and think about it.
It How is, did this yeah. happen?
What role do I play in this as far as responsibility is concerned? Mm-hmm. And you're thinking about what does life look like moving forward without resources or without that person in your life, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. And what I found was changing my environment mm-hmm. really went a long way to change my attitude. And one of the things I did, I just went and got in my truck mm-hmm. and I just took a drive. Mm-hmm. Because that took me out of that environment of where I had to make these very tough decisions, where your audience yeah. members have heard bad news or experienced right. something bad. And yeah. when you change that environment, I got out and I drove. I didn't listen to the radio. I just drove. Mm-hmm. And now my mind had to focus on not driving off of a cliff.
Yeah, exactly. So
again, you're distracting your mind. You're distracting that pattern. And then by the time I would get back home, you would still have that glimpse of, oh, okay, I forgot about, you know, that. Mm-hmm. But you're a little bit reinvigorated because your mind is not completely devoted to the past. That really helped. So every day, yes, you're right. It's doing something new and mm-hmm. doing something out of the ordinary. And it, mm-hmm. But you add enough of those things up together, and it's going to change your life.
That makes so much sense. It has also been my experience. One of the things, anytime I'm stuck in a thought, one of the first things I do is just take a walk. And I mean, it doesn't even have to be a long walk. Sometimes I just walk around the block. And it's like, you walk around the block, you look at trees and flowers and cars and people and dogs and whatever, the sky, and it just shifts something. And then you come back and you're just in a slightly altered state. But taking a drive, taking a walk, taking a nap, sometimes that really helps. It's anything that gives you a break from whatever you're ruminating about. Because so often, like, rumination is mind clock, and interrupting it does a lot to silence it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I walk every morning. Mm-hmm. Once I kind of got out of a funk, I walked. And that dopamine, that adrenaline that you get, it gives you just a little bit of excitement and positive vibes so you can move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to talking about grieving loss is so important. And I think in our society, there can be the tendency to try and brush over that. But I think it's really valuable to go ahead and let yourself feel. And if you need to cry or punch a pillow or, you know, whatever you need to do to express that grief or write it out or talk it out with somebody, to let it out of you. And it's much easier to let it go if you express it than if you just keep it bottled up inside. Because I talk about the emotional volcano. If you're feeding the emotional volcano, what will happen is it will blow up on you at an inopportune moment. But if you vent the volcano and you vent it in, you know, the constructive ways that you can, then you release that emotion, and maybe you release it over time, or maybe you let your volcano blow and you release it all at once. Yeah. but I think the grieving process for loss, and there's all kinds of loss. We're not just talking about death. It can be, you know, closing your business. It can be just having a bad day. I mean, there are all kinds of things in life that represent a sort of loss, and grief about that is a reality of the human condition. And it's good to just flow with it as much as you can.
Yeah. And to that point, especially for the men in your audience, mm-hmm. I can't speak for all of them, but I can tell you as a man, what that felt like for me. So when I mentioned grieving, it was more about coming to grips with, in my case, which was mostly financial, mm-hmm. it was coming to grips with the fact that I had to figure out how to provide for my family moving mm-hmm. forward. Mm-hmm. And it was difficult to try to come up with a plan to do that. Mm-hmm. And I still haven't to this day kind of taken it all in, because, you know, and you can, it's difficult to do because you immediately shift into trying to fix the problem. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you don't have time to sit there and just think about the problem. And you really don't want to just admire the problem. You want to come up with solutions. Mm-hmm. So as far as grieving for me as a man, it was more about coming to grips with, okay, my life as I knew it yesterday changed. Mm-hmm. It's going to look different today, and it's going to look different tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And as much as that hurts, I have to push my emotions to the side until I can stabilize my family. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. then at that point, one day, I probably will be able to sit down and say, let me look at the pictures from the damage. Let me look at the photos from the car crash. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I'll say, man, that was really bad, or it wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. I haven't had time to do that because I've been focused so much on fixing it as opposed to reliving it. Mm-hmm. And again, the grief is just, it's not a sense of sorrow for me. The grief was just, okay, this is a big pause in my life. Mm-hmm. It's a big breath that you take. And it's kind of like, okay, life is different.
Yeah.
And coming to grips with what that means without actually knowing what that means.
Right, right. Yeah, therein lying the challenge of being like, okay, the playing field just got pulled out from under me, and now what am I going to do? Yeah, yeah. And so as you go through your days now, I believe that every person on earth experiences mind cluck throughout every day. I think it's just part of the way our brains work. And I'm curious to know, in your day-to-day life, what do you do to silence those moments of mind cluck?
I remember how I did it before. I remember that I stay away from the news. I stay away from TV. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I continue to do today, because even if you're not going through anything challenging, but you can have a very good day, mm-hmm. and you can sit down after dinner and say, let me just turn the TV on and see what's happening.
Yeah.
You turn on local or national news and you watch it for 10 minutes. Then you turn it off. And then there's this nagging thing. You don't know why, because you had a good day. Mm-hmm. Now you just have this feeling of just a little bit of unease and uncertainty. And what you don't realize is just the images and the voices of doom, mm-hmm. that we hear in the news. It sits with you. Even if it wasn't a traumatic story you saw in the news, it's just it's a buildup, so to speak. So I stay away from that today, mm-hmm. proactively, mm-hmm. proactively stay away from that. And I remember if there's something major that's happening in the world, somebody's going to call me and tell me about it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not missing out. But the other thing I do is I try to think about the blessings that I've received, not necessarily just in the spiritual sense, but mm-hmm. when I look back at the difficult times that I've been through, mm-hmm. I look and see all of the good things that came from those experiences.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah. And I look at those things and I think, for example, you and I wouldn't be speaking today if I didn't decide to close my company, because I would not have had time,
right,
between 9 to 5 to sit down and do anything else except manage all of these dozens and hundreds of employees and manage a corporation. Mm-hmm. But it gives me great joy to be here talking to you and your audience, doing something I would have never been able to do 3 years ago. And I look at that and say, wow, that is powerful. And there are so many other things that I've realized and received that I wouldn't have if I would have been still running that particular company. And I remember those things.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so I have read a good portion of Tony's book. And one of the things that I can say is, like, you wouldn't have had the time to write your book and to dive into all of that and to actually capture, like, all of the lessons that you've learned throughout life, which are very, very powerful and can be helpful to all kinds of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And Maria, I think that's a lesson for all of us. And it's not just something that I've learned and I'm anybody special, because I continue to learn it every single day, which is life has a way of giving you more than you lost. If you allow yourself to be conscious enough to recognize it, mm-hmm. and life will also remove the things that aren't necessarily helping you become the better version of yourself. Mm-hmm. But if we mourn and grieve and get mad over that, then we won't realize the opportunities that are there in front of us. And when relationships end, for example, let them end, because if it's at that point, chances are there's something better for you out there. You don't have to rush into it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But what the universe is saying is, this is not who you need to be with today. Or maybe that other person is telling you that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that also relates to jobs. I think there are so many people that are in jobs where they're just miserable and they feel like they're living Groundhog Day over and over and over again. And it's like, you know what? you don't have to do that. Like if you find yourself in that position, then it's time to jump off the cliff and do something else. And it can be scary to walk away from the stability that you've known and the security of doing a job you already know. But when you recognize that you're in a situation that's just making you miserable, if you take, you know, gather your guts and you make a change, you will absolutely benefit from that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely correct. For sure. I mean, 1,000%. Mm-hmm. And if anybody's miserable in a relationship, in a job, in a business, in mm-hmm. life, mm-hmm. at a certain point, you have to decide that that's not the way you want to live. Mm-hmm. And it's a very personal decision that we all have to make. And yes. everybody's circumstances are different. But here's the thing I would tell you. If anybody would have told me what life would have been like after I closed my business, mm-hmm. I would have said, that's the end of the world. Because that's where your mind takes you. Mm-hmm. Fear of what's going to happen, that fear of the worst right. case scenario.
Right.
Here's the thing I know for sure, that as bad as it was nowhere near as bad as what my mind told me it would be. And not just closing yeah. business, but after the loss of a loved one, mm-hmm. I lived through Hurricane Maria when we lived in Puerto Rico. The eye of the storm went over our house. It was 4,000 wow. people died.
Yeah.
And it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. But it wasn't as bad as what your mind will tell you it would be like before you go through something like that. So for all of the audience members listening, mm-hmm. yeah, life is tough. Life is difficult. But inactivity, indecision can create more pain than making a decision. Because at least if you're making a decision, you're being proactive. And you're deciding, I'm going to do something different. And there's a lot of power that comes with that.
There is. There's a lot of power. There's a lot of energy. And you're essentially telling the universe, like, okay, I'm going to move forward. And yeah, I think that's so true, that our minds give us the worst possible scenario, because ultimately, like, our minds are about keeping us safe. So our minds like the status quo, because we know where we are, we know what to expect. But so often the status quo is not fulfilling. And yeah, whether it's job, relationship, whatever, doesn't matter what it is. And so being willing to like push a bit and say, no, you know what, I want more out of this life than just this steady kind of the steady existence with no bumps, or, you know, maybe you have bumps, but you just sort of accept them, as opposed to being like, you know what, I want to do something else. I want to feel alive every day. I want to get up excited about what I'm going to do today.
Yeah.
And or I'm going to see, or whatever.
Exactly. And I usually give people this example. If you're going to go on a road trip from Florida and drive up to, let's just say, New York, just drive mm-hmm. straight up 95. And an hour into the trip, you get a flat tire. Mm-hmm. A lot of people look at that as a sign that they should never have started the trip, or that mm-hmm. the trip was not meant for them. And mm-hmm. they would say things like, see, yeah, I should have stayed home. Mm-hmm. It's predictable at home. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go to New York. There's nothing there for me. And what I would say is, those people will live with a lot of regret later in life that they didn't at least make the journey. Mm-hmm. Because you can get the tire fixed. You can rent a car. You can fly. You can right. take a train, take a bus. There are so many vehicles to get to your destination, to your goal. Mm-hmm. And when you give up at the very beginning, at the first sign of adversity, what happens is, you do not get tested in life to the point where you realize that you can pass that test. So making that journey from Florida to New York, you're going to have to stop and meet people to get gas. You're going to have to stop mm-hmm. and eat. You're going to see some amazing things that you never would have seen if you just stayed in your comfort zone, stayed back as soon mm-hmm. as you hit that tire. And you will be a different person before you got to that destination. But you will only get to that destination if you understand that things will happen in life. You can mm-hmm. overcome them, but you don't move backwards. Mm-hmm. And you don't even know the opportunities and possibilities you're going to have in the future just by waking up and moving forward. And you miss out on so many wonderful things in life if you allow every little speed bump to turn you around to make you run back toward comfort.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's so true. And I think just thinking about growing into the person you really want to be, like we're all here, you know, everyone has to grow or not everyone has to, but everyone has the opportunity to grow and to develop new skills, develop new relationships, new networks, new everything. And what an incredible opportunity. Like, why not seize that?
Yeah. Yeah. Not making a decision is making a decision. You're deciding to stay where you are and who you are today. But I'll tell you that I have zero regrets in life. I really don't. Mm-hmm. Even when I made decisions to do things that other people would be considered risky or tough, business and different sports that I've taken part, not sports, but activities, physical activities. But I'll tell you, the reward that you get, because what happens is you realize that you're a lot stronger than you thought you were. Mm-hmm. You realize that there is a different world. And I'll say this in all truthfulness, the grass is greener on the other side of complacency. Mm-hmm. The grass is much greener because you become somebody else, not completely, but within yourself. And what I mean by that is once you set a goal and once you decide to follow that goal, you'll build resilience, you'll build determination, mm-hmm. you'll be very tenacious about it. You will not let people waste your time. You will not waste your own time. Mm-hmm. You'll realize that, wow, I accomplished one goal. Let me set another goal. Mm-hmm. You'll be setting more and more goals without even consciously deciding to do so. You'll constantly up the ante. And the reason you're doing that is because subconsciously now you realize that you can do more. You want to do more. And I'll tell you, life is really good even when it's not good. Because every single day there's an opportunity for each of us to wake up and start new.
Think about that. Yeah, that's so true. And you don't have to wake up and start with something huge. You can wake up and start with something small because little changes lead to big changes. And so it doesn't have to be that you're going to start a new business, start a new relationship. It can be today I'm going to make sure that I smile and say hello to every person I see. And just by spreading that goodwill, you're generating goodwill around you. You're kind of surrounding yourself in a cloud of love, and that will benefit you in so many ways. And then you make these little changes and it just builds and builds and builds. And ultimately, the word that kept coming to me as you were talking just a minute ago is empowerment. You're empowering yourself to be better, to be different, to be an example to others, et cetera. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And here's one example as well. Another example, just a real life example for people. That's something tangible. I used to always have this feeling when I've been flying for years since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. My parents, every other year we would go to visit my mom's family in Puerto Rico. And then every other year outside of that, we would drive to Georgia to visit my dad's side. And I just remember over the years, I never flew first class. Mm-hmm. Even when I can afford to do it, because my thought was, it's the same airplane. I'm not going to get there any faster than anybody else. Uh-huh. Right? And I don't think I'm better than anybody. Why do I need to sit in the front of the plane? Mm-hmm. And I had these ideas. And Maria, when I look back, really what it was is it was me justifying being comfortable mm-hmm. where I was. Mm-hmm. And one day we were coming from Puerto Rico, flying to Chicago, my wife, my son, and myself. And we were at the airport and we were checking in and they had seats available. And on the little kiosk, it said, do you want to upgrade to first class for $250. And I'm thinking, of course I do. Based on the prices that they were at that time. Like,
Yeah.
And we never went back after that.
Uh-huh.
And here's why. It is the same plane. Mm-hmm. Yes, we get there at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And no, I'm not more important than anybody else in the plane. But mm-hmm. here's the thing. The experience is 100% different.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Right? Isn't that just like life? Mm-hmm. Where if we keep saying, no, this was my parents' house. I was born here. I'm going to live here until I die in this same building. Or nope, this is the job, my first job. I'm never going to change jobs. If we don't at least explore opportunities outside of our comfort zone, we'll never know. We'll never know. And it's not a situation where you think that you're better than how you grew up or anything like that.
Right.
We are meant to progress as humans. We are meant to explore to see what opportunities are. And I'll tell you, it's way better flying first class.
Mm-hmm.
Way better. Yeah. You get off of that 3 or 4 hour flight, Maria, you're not balled up into a pretzel. You have because you're able to take a nap. You had real food, not some stale chips.
Right.
And yes, as soon as you get off, you go to sit down at the baggage claim like everybody else.
Yeah.
And get the same luggage that you got from Amazon. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
But how do we want to go through life? Do we really want to every 2 weeks to struggle to figure out how to pay bills? Do we really want to have the kind of relationships where we're just there and there's no fulfillment? Mm-hmm. And you're just another person living in the house with you, right? You want to go to a job every single day where we're unappreciated.
Yeah.
We're barely making enough money to get to and from work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We should want more. We should want more for ourselves. We should want a relationship when you wake up, you're excited about this person.
You can't wait
to spend time together.
Yeah. Right?
When you go to work, you're excited because you got people there who you like, your supervisors, you know, and your managers and upper management, they at least treat you with respect and you like what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You should want better without feeling this guilt that we're trying to be somebody else that we're not, or those elite people that fly in the front of the plane think they're better. That's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the case whatsoever for us as human beings. For us to expect that we want better and to get better. Nobody wants to drive the car down the road where every 10 minutes we have to stop and put water in the radiator.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no fulfillment in that.
Yeah.
None of that.
Yeah.
If you can afford to get a car and you don't have to do that, good for you. And you should want that. You should want that without feeling a certain way about it.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we have blown through our time here. So I just want to thank you so much, Tony. I just want to say, is there any last thing you'd like to say to our audience before we sign off?
Yeah, I would say definitely if you get an opportunity, pick up a copy of my book. I have it in audio, and ebook format. So you can read it on any of your devices or paperback. And the reason why I think it's a good read is because everyone who's read it has told me it feels like we're sitting down face to face, just having a conversation. That's how it flows. And the second thing is I don't write about all of the successes in life, but I do write about some of the challenging times that I had and how I was able to move through those and still be okay. And I think there's a lesson there for young people, for older people, mm-hmm. for people who are striving for success and for successful people. There's a story in there for all of us. And these are real life stories. And people would definitely benefit from it.
And I can plug Tony's book for you because I have read a good portion of it. And I absolutely agree. It's like you're having a conversation. And it's just, you have such an interesting history. So I will have the links for all of this in the show notes. And Tony, again, I just want to say thank you so much for joining me today. And thanks for all of the ideas and thoughts and wisdom that you've shared.
Thank you, Maria. It's a pleasure, and much success to your audience members. And I hope that they achieve every goal that they set out to achieve.
All right. Thank you. Okay, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. Take care. Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clock clocking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.